We continue our learning Lina Nishmas David Ben Achamunish and Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Elio. We are in Shvi'as Perek Beis Mishnah Tes. Little introduction. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yudalid tells us that when it comes to vegetables and greens, anything in that category, yurakos, so they follow the year in which they are picked. We've mentioned this before, but that's only if you treat them as you normally treat vegetables. What does it mean the way I normally treat vegetables? So vegetables actually have to be watered regularly, continually, and it's now, we don't rely just on rainwater. This is actually derived from a pasuk in the beginning of Devarim. V'hishkisav raglecha, in Parshas Ekev, v'hishkisav raglecha kigan hayarak. You give it water like the garden, like a garden of vegetables, which are normally watered. Ah, but let's say I interrupt the watering. So now, if I interrupt the watering, then I don't water these vegetables continually, and therefore they're not being treated as yurakos, so they're no longer classified by the year that they're picked anymore. They're actually classified by the year that they take root, which is the previous year, the hashrasha time, because that's the way we treat vegetables that are not continually watered. So that's the case of the Mishnah. Habitzolim, hasarisim, sterile onions. Maybe they don't grow as large as other onions. Maybe it means that they don't produce any seeds. Upol hamitzri, or an Egyptian bean. We mentioned Egyptian bean before, but here we're speaking about where I plant Egyptian bean because I plan on eating it. Not, I'm not planting it for seed purposes. Then it certainly would follow the year of taking root. But here, even when I planted it for vegetable, for using, to eat it, nonetheless, the case of the mission is Shemana Mehem Maim Shloshim Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah. I withheld watering them for a full 30 days before Rosh Hashanah of whatever was going to be the next year, the second year, the third year, the seventh year. So how does Shemitah work? Assuming this was the sixth year, 30 days before the beginning of the seventh year, the last 30 days of the sixth year, I didn't water them. Or let's say it's the last 30 days of the second year. I didn't water them. So now I want to know what the rules are regarding Meiser. Is it Meiser Sheni Maser Ani? And what's the rules regarding Shemitah? Is it a Shemitah year or not? So it says the Mishnah, Mis Asrin L'Sha'avar, the Meiser is determined by the previous year. So let's say the previous year where it takes root is the second year, it would be a Maser Sheni year. And not a Maser Ani year. Maser Ani is the third year. Now, normally, if I would water it continually, we would follow when you pick it. Since you're picking it in the third year, it would be a Maser Ani year. But since I didn't water it, there was a full interruption of 30 days, 30 consecutive days. So then it's going to be not follow the regular rules of vegetables and will follow the hashrasha of the taking root, which was in the second year. Same thing is true when it comes to shvias. Umutar and bashvias, they would be permitted in the shmita year. Meaning what? Normally, if I would water them in the sixth year, all the way to the end of the sixth year, so then they would, when in the seventh year, they would be considered Shemitah fruit. They would have the laws of Shemitah, of Kedusha Shvias. But since I interrupted them for 30 days in the sixth year, so now they don't no longer follow the regular rules of Yurakos. Now they're going to follow the rules of the Yurakos that are not, that where rainfall is sufficient. So they follow Hashrasha, they follow taking root. The taking root was in the sixth year, so they're not Shemitah fruit. Vimlav, but of course, if I did not do this, I did not interrupt the watering. I watered them throughout till the end of the year, till the 29th of Elul, all the way up to Rosh Hashanah, then Asurim Bashvias, then they'll be Asur in the Shemitah year, assuming I watered them all the way to the end of the sixth year, so now we follow the Lakita, the picking, and the picking is taking place when in the Shemitah year. So that determines that's the year that we assign this particular fruit. They're considered Shemitah fruit, or Shemitah vegetables, rather. Umis Asur L'Shanaba, and the Meiser is determined by the following year, the year that I picked them, and if that's the third year, that's a Maser Ani year. Michelle Baal, what about a field that doesn't need irrigation, a grain field that doesn't need an irrigation? Now, Stei Baal, by the way, is a field, as opposed to what we call a Beis HaShlach, and a Stei Baal is where rainfall is sufficient, at least if you're planting grain. But if I plant vegetables in that same field, so happens to me the grain suffices with rainwater, but the vegetables do not. But they may not need as much. So the Mishnah here says, this field is relatively moist, so the vegetables don't need as frequent watering as they would elsewhere. So therefore, the Mishnah says like this, Vishel Baal Shemana Mehem Mayim Shte Onos. If for two periods, literally two time periods, we usually know from the laws of from Hilchos Nida, from Taras HaMishpacha. Here, if I withheld water for two particular periods, two intervals, Divrei Rabbi Meir says, so those are the words of Rabbi Meir, then do I treat them as the previous year from when they take root? But that's only if I withheld water for a significant period of time. So only after two waterings are withheld from these onions or the Egyptian beans, do we now assign them the previous year. According to Rabbi Meir, they're considered vegetables as if I treated them like they don't need watering, and therefore they follow Hashrasha taking root. So if you skip two waterings before Rosh Hashanah, they will follow the previous year. And if not, I didn't skip two waterings, even if it was 30 days that I skipped, doesn't matter. They follow the next year, the coming year after Rosh Hashanah, and they will follow the Lakita. And Rachachamim Omen Shalosh. Rachachamim, however, say no. It's actually only if you withhold three periods before Rosh Hashanah, then we assign them the year of the pre-Rosh Hashanah year regarding Shemitah and regarding Maaser Ani versus Maaser Sheni. Only if you have three onos, time periods, intervals of where you did not water them. We're now in Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Hadaluin, speaking about gourds. So gourds, generally speaking, they have the status of the year. They're assigned, they're designated the year of when you pick them, which is what we normally do with vegetables, from what we discussed in the previous Mishnah. So that would mean if I have a gourd and it finished, it's now complete and in the sixth year, so it's considered Shemitah produce. Right, because you haven't picked it, although it completed itself in the sixth year, since it's only picked in the seventh year, it has the status of Shemitah. But here, the Mishnah says, Asha Kinman Lazera. But what happened was, I kept it to use it as seed. I left the gourds on their tree, on their vine, and I didn't pick them. Meaning, when they were ready, I left them because my purpose, my intent, is not to eat them, to consume them, but rather to use them as seeds for planting. So then, the fact that they're sitting on the vine. I don't care that they're sitting there and they're drying up. It doesn't matter, right? Either way, I can use the seeds. So the Mishnah gives this as an example. Duluin, Shekim, and Lazera, and we'll tell you what the halacha is going to be. This is an example of a food, which, if you leave it on the plant, even if it's ready to be picked, so it's going to see that it has a certain status. And the Mishnah says like this, Im hikshu lifnei Rosh Hashanah, if they became hard before Rosh Hashanah, v'nifzulu me'ochal adam, and they're no longer, right, they're disqualified, they're unfit from human consumption, mutter l'kayinman b'shvis, then you're allowed to keep them around during the Shemitah year. What does that mean? So what happened was, you left them on the tree, on the vine, these gourds, for a long time, and they dried out, they're very hard. So they are on the vine when Shemitah arrives, but they're no longer edible at this point. So then you're allowed to keep them mutter l'kayinman b'shvis. Since the gourds hardened before Rosh Hashanah, they don't have the status of Shemitah produce, even though you may pick them in Shemitah. Since they dried out while they were still attached, we treat them as if they had already been picked. Now, I didn't pick them, I left them on. But because they dried out before Rosh Hashanah, it's as if I picked them, so therefore they are a six-year fruit, six-year vegetable, and not a Shemitah vegetable. Now, Shemitah produce, as we know, if they had been Shemitah, so Shemitah produce cannot be used for seed, because the Torah actually says la'achla, right? And la'achla means I'm only permitted to eat Shemitah produce, and I'm not allowed to waste it. So therefore, we're really not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to actually leave it on the vine for this purpose of use as seed. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is telling me that I did, but not something that I should be doing lechatchila. So once again, if they harden before Rosh Hashanah, and they're unfit for human consumption, so therefore it's as if they were picked, and since it's as if they were picked, and since we follow the picking when it comes to gourds, so they have the status of the sixth year. Vimlav, but if not, asur l'kayinman b'shvias. What does it mean? If the gourds hardened only after Rosh Hashanah, so during the Shemitah year, they were still edible. So you can't say, well, they're considered as if they were picked during the sixth year because they were edible even in the seventh year. And therefore, the seventh year produce, and therefore they have the status of Shemitah. Mishnah continues, Hatmaros Shelohem, Tamaros. Now, Tamaros usually means dates, but it's clearly not what it means here. The one way to understand this is that there are buds. And these buds are on the gourds, and they're there before they blossom, and they look like dates. Maybe some say it's like a leafy growth from on the tip of the stem, which grows a little bit like the date palm. Either way, that's why we call them tamaros. But hatamaros shelohem asuros b'shvias. Now, this particular growth was actually edible, and it did not, when the gourd became hardened, this did not become hardened. So, some claim, no, maybe it wasn't edible, but maybe you could somehow mix it up. It looked like edible produce. So either way, the Mishnah here is teaching us like this. Even though this, particular top, these tamaros, these buds or these leafy growths from the gourd, are part of the plant, they share the plant with the gourds and they sprout. Nonetheless, we treat them differently. So even though the rest of the gourd hardened before Shemitah, and we consider then, therefore, the gourd a six-year fruit, these things that sprout actually will have the status of Shemitah produce because they haven't hardened, and therefore we would be strict regarding them. Mishnah continues, Umarbitzin ba'afar lavan divir Rabbi Shimon. Marbitzin means you're allowed to put, sprinkle water. What's afar lavan? White soil. So what's happening here? So we have to remind ourselves that Shemitah, there are only four activities that are not allowed. And we mentioned those are all written in the Chumash. So the fact that the Torah didn't write other activities, which maybe we would have assumed were asur. One example is watering. After all, you're not allowed a plant, and plant is causing something to grow. So maybe watering should be prohibited. We assume that watering is at worst is going to be an issur d'rabbanan. So therefore, let's say we talk about fields where rainwater is sufficient, right? And watering is not critical for it. So actually, the Chachamim actually permitted it. So when it comes to according to one opinion is that watering, we are with the Chachamim in certain circumstances would prohibit it, in other circumstances permit it. After all, it's only Asur D'Rabbanan anyway. So some would claim that if it's a field where rainwater was sufficient, and you didn't have to, it wasn't essential, so then the Chachamim maybe relaxed this prohibition of watering and would allow that. Others claim watering was actually permitted when it was essential in fields that needed irrigation. So this is a machlokes, seems to be machlokes Rishonim, when the Chachamim relaxed this stringency of watering during the Shemitah year, either when it was not essential or bedafka when it was essential. So we're going to be speaking a little bit about watering here. And the Mishnah here said, as we said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to water white soil. Now, what does he mean? He's coming to teach us like this. Even watering, which is not essential, according to Rabbi Shimon at least, is permitted during Shemitah. That's what he means by a white field. And he's saying this is an area, this is a field that wouldn't necessarily need. So Rabbi Shimon comes like this, and he says, this is permitted during the Shemitah year. For what purpose? We want to encourage the vegetables to grow, the ones that are going to be picked, let's say, after Shemitah. And not only that, you actually can do this in advance of Shemitah, to water these plants and to encourage them to grow, the vegetables to grow during Shemitah. The only thing you can't do is water the vegetables during Shemitah. So I can water them during Shemitah for them to grow, for me to pick them afterwards. I can water them in advance in order for me to pick them during Shemitah. The only thing I can't do is when I have both, where A, I'm going to water them during Shemitah, and I'm going to pick them during Shemitah. That is not allowed. So an afar lavan, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're assuming this white soil is an area where a watering, it's a field where rainfall would suffice, and watering is not so essential. So this is what he said. It's what type of field? Why do we call it white? Maybe it's grain or vegetable. Either way, it's not a field of trees. So once again, Rabbi Shimon allows you to water in advance of Shemitah or even if you're going to pick during Shemitah, or he allows you to water during Shemitah if you're going to pick them after Shemitah. That's Afar Lava, and you're allowed to water them, sprinkle water, because water here is not essential. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Oser. Eliezer ben Yaakov says it's prohibited. You're not allowed to water field during Shemitah, period. No water now. He doesn't say anything about maybe before Shemitah, right? That he doesn't say. But he says certainly during the Shemitah year, even though you're going to pick them afterwards, he does not allow such a thing. Rabbi Mimarsin, the Mishnah continues, Mimarsin ba'orez ba'shvias. Literally means a lot of stir, a lot of mix rice in the Shemitah year. What are you doing? I want to actually flood the rice field and make it very, very muddy, and mix the mud around so that I can make sure that the water doesn't drain out of the field. That, he says, you're allowed to do during the Shemitah year. We're talking about rice actually that took root before Rosh Hashanah, before the Shemitah, so it's not really Shemitah produce. So this activity is allowed because anyway, it took root before Shemitah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Aval Ein Mechaschim. Rabbi Shimon says, you're not allowed, what's mechaschim? You're not allowed to trim. I'm allowed. Yes, I'm allowed to stir the rice mud, to keep the water in. The rice took root anyway before Shemitah. But during the Shemitah, you're not allowed to clip the leaves of the rice plant. That's something that he would prohibit. So there are many practical halachos related to watering during the Shemitah year. Important to know that you're allowed to water fields if there's rainwater is not sufficient, what we call a beis hashlachim. Halacha is that you're allowed to actually water those fields during the Shemitah year based on the Mishnais and the Gemara and Moed Katan, a little bit we would discuss. If you have a field, let's say, or a plant, which let's say you know is going to be harmed without watering, then we treat that as a beis hashlachim also, and you can water that. And several other halachas, there's one last one. If you have a field that doesn't require any irrigation, you're allowed to sprinkle it with water, sprinkle it, even when it's not necessary. That's a simple reading, one explanation at least, of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah.